The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray and I ready to do it for, it's transition week here as we get into August in a couple of days. Monday, July 30th with us, 2018. Hope you're having a good start to the week. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts. We've got podcasts, it's really almost becoming of historic significance, going back to January of 2011, so there are lots of shows up at buckmastershow.com. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. With me in studio for the Monday Political Face-Off, we have Jim Kelly with us. Jim is a longtime conservative activist who actually ran for office himself. What year was that, Jim?
2010.
And you were running for the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
That is correct.
Vince Robigo is with us. Vince, longtime Democratic Party activist. Vince is a former Arizona Attorney General candidate back in 2010. Vince, you are still head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County?
No, that's not correct.
It is not.
Last year, way back, ran, if you remember, Steve Leal took
correct.
Over that. So no, I have not been involved in that for probably over a year now.
All right, but you were
back,
doing
back when, yeah.
Yeah, back when.
Yeah, well, I had really actually rekindled that and started that back in 2007, I believe, just to provide a seat at the table for people of Mexican American or other, you know, Latino descent to have a at least an avenue and a voice to be involved in Democratic Party politics. And then it kind of floundered after I ran for office and left being involved in party politics. And then when I came back, I tried to rekindle it again, and then I turned over the reins. So I don't know what they're doing. I have not been too involved. Got to pay the bills and keep my own business operating, so I haven't been too involved.
Yeah, own legal business right now, you're actively looking for clients.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. You always got to be. If you're in the legal practice, you have to look for clients. I don't do advertising in the traditional sense, like some of these the proverbial ambulance chasers, as they call them. I don't do any of that sort of advertising, and I don't begrudge them. I understand it's a very competitive market. It's very different. The industry has changed over the years from the time where nobody in the legal field advertised.
Mm-hmm. But you are you're on Facebook.
Correct. I do that in the sense of that sort of direct sort of marketing messages and saying, hey, we're here to help you. Do you have a legal
issue? I try to endorse you as much as I can on Facebook.
I appreciate that. And I don't, my legal practice, we handle all sorts of cases and clients from Republican, Libertarian, Democrat. Those aren't the issues in all my cases, except unless we're doing election-related cases. And I've actually represented clients or matters related to Republican candidates and Democratic candidates. I represent anybody who has a good, just case that I believe in.
Jim, let's begin with you. The president met with the head of the New York Times, the publisher of the New York Times, and from what we've gathered at that meeting, the head of the Times urged the president to please back off on this fake news stuff. That it could be putting journalists' lives in jeopardy? Your reaction?
Well, my reaction is this, is that, one, it was a good meeting to have. I think our president and the editor of the New York Times, I think they should definitely be sitting down and talking to each other because of the back and forth, the grenades that everybody's been throwing back and forth at each other for a while now, particularly since President Trump became President Trump. I will say this. I think that the president has valid issues with journalism overall, particularly with the New York Times, CNN, and a few others. I do believe that there has been an activist journalism that has been occurring for a good generation now, where it is, I have an opinion, my job now is to go out and find the facts to back up my opinion. And instead of, what are the facts? There is something I want to say. There are good journalists out there, and I hope the president knows that, particularly my favorite right now in Washington at the White House, who I believe will be the reporter of record for this 8-year presidency, is Steve Herman from The Voice of America. He reports what he sees, what the president says. He reports it as is and raw. He reports what Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, as is and raw. He gets reactions from both sides, people who either agree and disagree, and he leaves it to me, for my opinion.
Did he learn that, by the way?
Oh, I think he probably learned it from you, Bill.
Yes, he did. Learned it from me because I hired him back in Las Vegas in 1970s.
So my point is this, is that there are good journalists out there, and I think people know that, and I think more and more people are seeing this is the kind of reporting that we want. Stop trying to prove your opinion right and just tell us what's going on and let us form our own opinion.
And by the way, Jim, Steve is going to be with us for a half an hour on Wednesday here on the show.
Outstanding. I'll do my absolute best to listen in.
Okay, Vince, what do you think?
Well, I think that I disagree with how it's been framed, that mm-hmm. there is this onslaught of reporters that are just trying to make stories fit their opinions. In fact, it's been the other way around. For years, what has happened in the conservative side of politics is they've created a movement to attack the media, calling it "Don't believe the liberal media." And then the only ones that they will believe are Fox News. I mean, really, there's a couple of other individuals, but really, it's been this.
I don't know, the National Review.
A couple, but even on some of those, when I've actually presented those points, like for example, to John Munger, who regularly appears, he'll then attack their views as fake news. When I say, look at the National Review, look what this guy has said in his opinion, look at that, and then they'll find a way to try to delegitimize it. What is happening in a bigger picture is that for years, if you go back to 2016 Republican campaign, when people arrived there, and you can go research this stuff, you don't have to rely on me, I'm not a news reporter, but when they arrived in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, there was an enormous white billboard at the top of the tall building saying, "Don't believe the liberal media." And it's been a concerted attack on trying to delegitimize any reporting with which does not agree with their conservative view or opinion.
But understand that conservatives do believe, and their perception is, that the liberal media delegitimized their opinions, their thoughts, their feelings for a good generation.
I understand. Okay. Well, I don't know how long it's been.
Wait a minute. That's the feeling, because that's how everybody's reacting on this.
What I'm saying is that feeling has been an actual campaign to delegitimize the media, and starting with President Trump's campaign.
You don't think there was a campaign to delegitimize conservative thought?
It's radio.
No, I don't.
And when two people are talking at the same time, nobody hears what you're saying.
I do not believe that. Thank you. I do not believe that. And I believe instead what has been happening, it's a way to attack the messenger. And when you attack the messenger, you have a way to easily convince people just not to listen to that messenger. So what is happening is, so for example, people are reporting actual facts, and conservatives now just don't want to believe facts because they just lump it in to this, oh, it's just the media, it's the fake news. So what Trump has done, and it didn't just start when he went into office, his presidential campaign was laced with this, the anti-media, don't believe the media. And what it is it's a very dangerous attack on democracy. In fact, our Constitution, the only private enterprise that is mentioned directly in our United States Constitution is protection of the free press. And it's not talked about a government enterprise. It's the protection of the free press. And the U.S. Supreme Court, I think back in the early 70s, talked about how important that is to our democracy, because you have to have a free press that is free to criticize our government. Because if you don't and the government acts deceptively, then essentially you don't have a free press, then people are deceived by the government. So what has happened here, it's a very easily well-oiled machine to just say, don't believe it, this is all fake news, delegitimize the free press. So then you don't, you even now are stepping into the area of censuring them. So like, for example, when the Scott Pruitt, former EPA director, blacklisted the Associated Press, EP, Politico, CNN, said, hey, you can't come to these meetings, and other press could, and he blacklisted them, then you're censoring the press, and they're reporting what is happening, what these agencies are actually doing. Same thing with the president. Okay. They kick people out, and what happens is it's a way to attack our democracy. There's a great book about this war on the free press and how dangerous it is by a very well-respected journalist that has just come out, and it's very dangerous for our country because then you never believe what is being reported. And that is what is happening here today.
Jim Kelly, you will be up to the plate after we take the break to respond to Vince Robigo, right after we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. But first, here's the deal. Go to Moe's, who sponsors our political face-off. Go to Moe's first at Fort Wright, as Ray's saying. Drive over to Moe's. Get all your framing needs done over at Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Then go up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. A great place to go for lunch right now. Have a sandwich there, that bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago, and a wide variety of breads to choose from. Vince, do you know what the Danish Kringle is?
I do not, but it sounds delicious to me.
How about you, Jim?
Never had one.
Well, I think both of you would learn something by going up to Mona's and checking it out. We'll be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Vail School Superintendent Calvin Baker, plus certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening, podcast, show archive, all of it at buckmastershow.com. Back, it is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince Robigo is with us, longtime Democrat Party activist, and Jim Kelly, longtime conservative Republican activist. And Vince, you were pointing out that you're the former head of the Hispanic Caucus of the Democratic Party of Pima County. The current head of that Hispanic Caucus is the former Tucson City Councilman, Steve Leal. And today's Steve's birthday, and he wants us to know that he's doing very well, actually recovering from heart surgery. A while ago, but he's doing much better.
Glad to hear he's doing well. Yeah, I think we had talked about that on the show at one point. He had some issues, and we're glad to hear you're doing well and that you're listening in, Steve.
we had a good argument yesterday morning about a particular candidate on Facebook. So I know Steve's feeling better if he's going to argue
with him. he's ready to tango. Jim, I promised you would get some time. Let's hear your response to Vince about the Free Press. And Doug is on the line. Doug, hold on. We'll get to you in a second.
All right. My response to Vince about the Free Press is you cannot wrap yourself in the mantle of virtue of the protector of democracy if you attack that democracy on a regular basis. And I'm not saying you, Vince. What I'm saying is this overall perception. Many people... Donald Trump did not create the animosity towards the press. He didn't create it. He megaphoned it, but he didn't create it. It existed prior to Trump. That's one of the reasons Trump got elected. People felt disenchanted from what the press talked about. There was a very elitist kind of thing. They talked over the heads of the flyover country, and that's why there is such a backlash. Now, is that dangerous? Yes, it is. Is it dangerous to journalists? Obviously, it is. Look at around the world. Look how many Mexican journalists have been killed if you go up against the government, either or the cartels. So supposedly you're going to criticize the good guys and they kill you. If you criticize the bad guys, they kill you. It's all wrong. And I've seen what Erdogan has been doing in Turkey, and I've seen what's happened in Europe, particularly under Putin. So is it wrong? Of course it's wrong. Is it dangerous to democracy? Of course it's dangerous to democracy. It's also dangerous to our constitutional republic in the United States, which is what we have.
I'm glad you agree with those things.
My point is that journalists need to really evaluate their own behavior, their own motivations, and they ask themselves those very basic questions taught in journalism school. Who, what, when, where, how?
Let's hear from Doug. I think it's Doug Martin, the owner of Good News Communications. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon. And I agree with Vince about the idea of freedom of the press. Our First Amendment freedoms are paramount, along with freedom of religion. You know, I think that's what, freedom's all about. But there have been times in our history when the press have been co-opted by special interests. And I was reading about Upton Sinclair this weekend, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with him and the book that he did called The Jungle, which exposed the meat industry and the terrible things that they were doing. Well, journalists knew about it, but because Hearst and other big, powerful people controlled the media, it wasn't being reported on. So I think that's the fear that I think many of us have, is that the press is truly not free. It's truly not free to report what's really happening, and may be under their own, agenda or their own viewpoint that's controlling it. I was in a meeting with a city council person in the Daily Star board, and he's a friend of mine. So we sat in the meeting, and he was saying things that were really inflammatory and really could have worked against him. But the next day when the article came out, it was just a wonderful, glowing article that didn't put anything in that he had said that actually should have been reported. But I remember something one of the ladies said to me, and she goes, I don't know, why are you here? I go, I don't know, it makes no sense. I'm a Republican, and I don't even live in the city. And she reached over and tapped my leg and said, well, if you lived in Maricopa County, you'd be in good company. So I think there is a bias out there. We need to realize it. And what we really want is a free press.
Okay, Doug, thank you very much. Thanks.
Well, I understand that point, and I'm not saying that any industry or group cannot have biases. And I agree with James that if they're there, that people should evaluate. And to the extent that this is happening, any reporters out there ought to always be doing that when you're doing reporting. There's also been a co-opting of the problem, what I call a problem, and that is the talking head society we've had with cable news and people presenting opinions and talking heads, and it started, you had all these different, whether it was Lou Dobbs and all these things that were really had nothing to do with the news. They were talking literally just political opinion and pushing that out there. And that's been a problem. But then when you have this inundation of media sources, just all kinds of sources that people just rely on different echo chambers, then nobody's, people aren't listening to each other anymore. And the problem with what President Trump is doing, though, is far above and beyond that. We have every right to call on any, whether it's a media, hey, report this correctly. And if it's incorrect, then they need to apologize and explain what happened. But this is different when you start doing what he's doing and essentially calling them enemies of the state, because that is what dictators do. That destroy, that take over countries, and that's what that book, Enemy of the People, that was just released by a veteran journalist, Marvin Kalb, who's got 60 years of respected journalism reporting behind him. And when you start doing that, it's a goal is to confuse the people, that you therefore cannot rely on this other source of information. You delegitimize it mm-hmm. to be able to do whatever you want. And that is how dictators have taken over. It's a very unbiased look at what is happening and the danger of what's happening and how this is an attack on our democracy and how we all have to be very careful. So while I understand and maybe appreciate there's this view among conservatives and others about biases, this is a dangerous avenue to allow, and you yourselves on your own party should be criticizing your own president. When Obama did things that I disagreed with, like not going after financial institutions after the mortgage meltdown, I criticized him. I'm not afraid to criticize people in my own party. But what I see on the other side is people making up excuses, trying to make apologist excuses, saying, hey, no, he's this, he's that. Oh, there's grenades thrown on both sides. That's not the case, not to the extent what he's doing. People aren't throwing grenades in the media at President Trump. They're reporting the things he did, like when he made fun of a disabled person, when things were reported about his liaisons with women, paying to hush money to keep up things. And he then just attacks them and says, this is all fake news, gives people an easy excuse to ignore it and say, oh, we just don't believe it. And it's dangerous because then he can do whatever he wants and I'll be the first person, and you ought to be right next to me saying this is wrong. We ought to call out our elected politicians, no matter what position they hold, when they're doing that kind of behavior.
Well, I trust me, I'm not a complete apologist for every living tweet that the president has ever put out. Do I think that I think the president is wrong to call journalism in general enemy of the people? I think it's way too broad. I think it's too broad when he calls out fake news. Now, if he wants to go after CNN specifically or if reporters specifically, sure, do it. Heck, I supported George Bush Sr. when he went after Dan Rather for his nonsense. But my point is this, is that if journalism doesn't want to be attacked, stop attacking with an agenda that the American people don't like. And that's part of the issue that's been going on.
All right.
Now, but and again, it's obviously journalists should not be targeted for violence.
All right.
Neither should Republican senators playing a baseball game.
Christopher.
Well, obviously not, but that's a false equivalence again, trying to say that people talking about journalists and saying they're enemies of the people, and he's trying to equate that to a person, a crazy person, goes and shoots people criminally. I mean, that's again part of the problem. You guys try to make these false equivalencies that have, like, as if that's it's okay because some crazy guy went and shot a politician. They're
Maxine
not the
Waters'
same.
Nonsense right. is a false equivalency.
Let's see if we can work in Christopher. I've only got 1 minute, Christopher. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm Christopher Cole. I'm chair of the Pima County Libertarian Party. I am also old enough, I'm 68, to remember when journalism was a craft. When somebody wanted to be a reporter, they went and became an apprentice to a reporter at a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Now, journalists go to college and they graduate with the mindset that they are the elite, that they are more knowledgeable than everybody else, and that they can basically tell everybody what to believe because they're better educated and more knowledgeable.
All right, Christopher, thank you for your opinion. I do have to cut you off because we're out of time. Vince and guys want the last word real quickly.
There is a problem with elitism behavior from journalism and has been for a generation. It needs to change. Okay. We need gumshoes on the ground.
And I would disagree with his perspective. Maybe to the extent that elitism exists, that's a different issue. The problem is with the downfall of print media and people not buying it, and you don't have those opportunities anymore. So it's a very different media world, and that's a whole other problem that is harmful for our democracy.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Okay, on that note, going to wrap it up. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe's specializes in custom frame, mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. We will be right back. Kelly Fryer is with us next. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward 12:35. This portion of our program presented by our friends at Green Things. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Not only is Green Things your place for all of your gardening needs, but now you can decorate your whole home with all the great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America at Zocalo. Zocalo for years was over at Country Club and Broadway near that intersection. They're now located on the 13-acre site at Green Things. Find out more at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now the CEO of the YWCA of Southern Arizona and Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Kelly Fryer, with us from the campaign trail. Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing just great.
Where are you calling from?
I am en route, actually. I'm on my way up to Flagstaff to meet with voters this evening. And, of course, I'm really looking forward to the first televised gubernatorial debate, which will be held in Phoenix tomorrow evening.
And, you know, we have this three-way race for governor. What is it that separates you from the pack in this primary? And, of course, the ballots will be really in the mail very soon.
Right. This week, I think they'll actually start hitting people's mailboxes. I think that there are some real significant differences, Bill. I think that there are some policy differences between the three of us. But I think that what really separates me from my two opponents is that I bring to this race, and I'll bring to the governor's office, 29 years of experience in senior leadership and CEO positions, working in grassroots organizations. So I have a really clear handle on the kinds of challenges that families and students, women, small business owners in our communities face. But I also have the ability to really step into that office on day one and be the CEO. I've got a plan, a very detailed plan and detailed policy positions on my website, which is at fryerforarizona.com. And I think that when folks go and see the plans that I have in place, I've got a 100-day plan that I'm ready to execute on day one. And I think that kind of experience, particularly the experience that I bring, which is, really I specialize in stepping into an organization that is in some trouble, some crisis, some dysfunction, and bringing people together around vision and shared values to do what matters. In fact, not only have I done that in CEO and senior leadership roles, but I spent nearly a decade helping organizations across the United States do exactly that same thing. I think that's the kind of leadership we need in Arizona right now.
Kelly, what was the situation when you stepped in to take over the leadership at the YWCA back in 2013?
Well, my board president, she was a vice president at the time, Cheryl House, well-known community leader, development professional here in town. I think she says it pretty well. Her endorsement is actually on my website, and she talks about how, you know, the 2008 recession hit that organization very hard. And when I arrived, the financial situation of the organization was pretty rocky. And, you know, in Cheryl's words, you know, we didn't know if the organization would be able to survive. And, you know, they went looking for a leader that had some experience in doing, you know, turnaround work, transformational work. And I came to my interview with a plan. I've always come to every interview I've ever had with a plan for how we could go forward. And as Cheryl said, you know, I think it's pretty clear that if we hadn't been able to come in, turn that financial situation around, really stabilize the organization, and then begin to grow it, we've grown by 400% in the last 5 years. You know, as Cheryl said, you know, it's not clear that the organization would still be around. But that's the kind of work that I've been doing, you know, for 25 years. And frankly, I think that's the kind of work that we need to be doing in our state.
Kelly Fryer, what about a turnaround? What kind of a turnaround plan would be called for as the state's chief executive?
Well, you know, I mean, we've seen decades of tax cuts that have benefited the very wealthy, wealthiest Arizonans and big companies, a lot of them, you know, from out of state and some of them from out of the country. These cuts have not benefited the people of Arizona. They've defunded our public school system. They've left our infrastructure, you know, in parts of our state literally crumbling. And we haven't been able to invest in the kinds of things that are going to move Arizona forward. Renewable energy, for example, our higher education system. So, you know, I think we need to take a really good hard look at our revenue structure, and we need to deal with that. What you're going to get in me as a governor is somebody that steps into that office and takes a very assertive role in exercising the power of the governor's office in strategic and very assertive ways to begin creating change in Arizona. And I think that what's going to happen is that people are going to see, you know, real positive changes happening that have a direct impact on their lives. And I think that's going to create interest and enthusiasm about who we are as a state again and really begin to move us forward in a positive way.
Have we dropped the ball in human rights as far as you're concerned in this state?
My commitment is that every single policy I write, every bill I sign, every budget I draft will be done through a human rights lens. I think that what's happened here is that really our state government has been hijacked by a small group of people who are more interested in their own profit margin and making their friends rich than they are in the people of Arizona. And I'll turn that around.
What has your experience been like? You've probably traveled to some areas of Arizona that you didn't even know existed.
I have. If you can believe this, since February 1st, I've put 27,000 miles on my car.
What?
That's more. I know. That's more than I typically put on my car in 2 years. But it's a big state, and I got into this race because I believe every single voice matters. And so I've made a commitment to be as many places around the state as humanly possible during this campaign. And I don't just show up and, you know, put on a show. I walk Main Street. I meet business owners. I meet people across party, and I'm just getting to know people, and what I'm committed to is building a relationship with people that I am committed to continuing as governor. In fact, one of my goals after I'm elected is to put a big sign on the side of my RV that says Mobile Governor's Office and actually hold office hours in small towns and rural communities and underserved urban neighborhoods around the state. But, you know, the number one thing I hear from people, Bill, is we feel like we've been forgotten about. You know, I think our state leaders live in this little tiny, you know, Phoenix-centric bubble. And and they look at, you know, they look at the stock market and they say, wow, this is great. And they look at, you know, the unemployment rate appears to be dropping, and, you know, they say, yay, that's great. And for a sliver of people in Maricopa County, life is great. But for the rest of us around in the other 14 counties of Arizona, things are not so good. And I'm promising people, you are not forgotten. I see you, I hear you, and I will be a governor that works with you to make life better for everybody around our state.
And if anyone's interested checking out all of your policy issues, they're all available at your website, which is?
FryerForArizona.com.
Kelly Fryer, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for taking some time to visit with us while you're on the road. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Kelly Fryer, one of three Democratic candidates in the governor's primary. And those candidates, of course, Steve Farley, Kelly Fryer, and David Garcia. Up next, F. Ann Rodriguez, the longtime Pima County recorder. She's seen quite a few elections in her time, and we're going to get the overview as we get ready for primary 2018 here in Arizona. F. Ann Rodriguez is next on Buckmaster.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all seven home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. The name of the program, Buckmaster, and I'm Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. But you don't need to be listening just to the radio. You could be listening on the computer, and a lot of people do. KVOI.com, and of course, my website has the live stream at buckmastershow.com. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway, whether it's a midweek getaway, early week getaway, or over the weekend. Just a 3-hour drive to Silver City, and there's a lot to do, including hiking in the Gila National Forest, which is greened up beautifully with all of our summer rains. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. All right, let's visit now on telephonically on the telephone with F.N. Rodriguez, longtime Pima County recorder. Ann, how are you?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Bill, but we're very busy. The phones are ringing. People are checking their voter registration records and asking for ballots, so it's election season for the recorder's office, but, you know, we gear for up. It takes me like 9 months to plan for these big elections, and as you said, the longtime recorder, I've seen the changes in how we conduct elections and the processes and the opportunities with modern technology, how easily it is for citizens to not participate in our voting process. So,
when were you first elected?
I was elected in 1992 when President Bill Clinton was elected. I was a very young lady. Now I'm a mature woman, they tell me. And so I've been in office for 25 years, and it's been a great experience. And I love doing with this. I love the energy. Unfortunately, the politics have changed since I was first elected, but my office deals with it.
Now, is the deadline tonight?
Deadline is tonight by midnight. But now people can go to Service Arizona, it's all one word, .com, and quickly, you know, register online electronically, and we'll get, and that is through Service Arizona, is through Motor Vehicle Division. So if you have a current Arizona State driver's license, you can easily do it online. Make sure your address is up to date with your driver's license before you go in to click voter registration. You know, it's a handy tool that we've been using for years. Or if people don't have access to a computer, or if they don't have anything, they can do the snail mail version. They can pick up one at any public library, post office, any of my recorder's office, or go to my website at recorder.pima.gov, click on registering to vote, download a form, bring it in. As long as you have it postmarked by tonight, we'll accept them, okay, because we'll get them by Friday. The law allows it if you've been doing it by mail. So there's all kinds of methods out there. I'll tell you, there's a lot of groups, Bill, I run into them, doing it. All the candidates are doing it. They know they've got to bring them in. So, you know, there's no excuse for somebody not at least initially registering to vote. And some of the pain points we have is that some people forget to update their address with us so we can get them the proper ballot, or if they're voting by mail, or get them to their proper polling location on election day.
We had a call from Lauren. Go ahead, Lauren. You're with Pima County Recorder F.N. Rodriguez. Lauren, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm off topic, Bill. I apologize, but I have a really important question. I bought a home in 1975, hand-delivered the deed to the Pima County Recorder's Office to put it on file, which I think is the final step in purchasing a home. now I'm hearing, as an elderly person, I'm older, we have this title fraud scare going on that, oh, we should be signing up for title fraud, home title fraud, that your home title can be stolen out from under your eyes while you're sleeping by some nefarious computer hacking. Am I wrong about this?
Well, there's so many things out there that are going around. We have not found any transfer of title, as you refer to it. We have your recorded deed probably back here. It's not electronically, but we can find it. We can also find out what your payoff records are. You should have received that from your lender at the time, but we would also have a recorded if you happen to have your home paid off, you know. So, you know, just like all the phone calls that people are getting from everything, there's these things out there. You shouldn't trust people. Don't give people information over the phone. You can feel free to come and check your records here, sir, and we can help you navigate through it to make sure nothing has gone.
Okay, excellent there, FN. Now, my friend Dan Scheer has a piece in the Green Valley News about Democrats, 200,000 in Pima County, 158,000 Republicans. Then there's the no party affiliates. That's been growing, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, you know, and we update the voter records every Monday morning, and people can find this information, again, on my website. It's called Voter Totals by District. I just ran them up this morning because the numbers have somewhat changed because we're getting duplicates. People passed away and for other things. But the total voter registration is 522,066 registered voters in Pima County. Most of the people, I would say about 70% of the people here in Pima County are on the permanent early voting list and will automatically get a ballot if they happen to be registered as one of the political parties. The 160,000 registered voters out there who are non-affiliated, they want to be, we call them party not designated or independent voters. Those voters, I implore them to participate in the primary election. There seems to be some confusion that they don't want to participate. But there's such a vast amount of candidates running out there under either the Democrat, Republican, Green Party that the independents can request a ballot to be mailed to them. They just need to either go online at my office, you know, or call my office at 724-4330. And request which political party ballot you want to be sent to you. But I want to emphasize, it does not change their registration records.
Hmm.
They still remain as independents and other. But it allows them to participate in this process. And Bill, somebody's going to get elected in all these races.
Uh-huh.
I implore those other ones, don't poo-poo it and just say, well, I'm going to leave it to the parties. Well, you know, the parties are going to send somebody to the general, and then we all get to vote on this, on the candidates that have been selected. But I implore those people that are, you know, independent-minded, which is their right in the state, they still have a duty, in my personal opinion, to participate. They can pick whatever ballot they want to. But, you know, don't come back there and complain later on because you didn't like ex-party's representative or you should have thought that one. This is your time, you know. That's why the state of Arizona, actually the voters decided this on allowing these people to participate in the primary election. Because don't sit back and wait for the general because you're going to miss the boat.
So I'm curious, the no party affiliation, what percentage do you roughly think might participate in this primary?
Well, I'm going to be running, I'm doing the analysis right now because we've loaded up all our files to be sent out, and I'll be doing a press release to actually see how many people that are registered in this political group have not requested a ballot, or they may choose to go participate on election day. They would simply go into their assigned polling location. Or they can go to, I have a numerous amount of early voting sites. We open up the three recorders' offices on Wednesday. Again, all the locations are posted on my website. We have different dates. open, and they can walk in and say, I want to participate in this primary ballot, and we'll issue them a primary ballot. And they can do the same thing on Election Day. So this is a big block of voters. Right now, the registered independents now surpass the Republican Party. Now, that's in this county. Now, in Maricopa County, it's reversed. The others outnumber the Democrats. And, of course, others outnumber statewide the Democrat voters now. So it's a big block of people that, you know, we need to wake up and say, hey, folks, don't complain, you know. This is your time to participate. So many things have changed politically between the 2016 election to the 2018 election. And this is the time for participation. This is how democracy works. You may not like the end result, but this is how it works. So everybody needs to participate in the community.
All right.
And if you get a ballot in the mail, please vote it and send it in.
Again, your website?
It's recorder.pima.gov.
Okay.
It tells you how to register to vote. It tells you how to check on the permanent early voting list. A person can check their voter registration status to see if you are, in fact, registered. It tells you where all of my early voting sites and the times of operation. World of information.
Thank you, Afan Rodriguez. Always a pleasure. Appreciate
it.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen helping Mike out. 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you at 12:04 tomorrow. On behalf of Ray, it's Bill. Have a great afternoon.